Our theme for Lent this year is the way. It's inspired by passages in Scripture that talk about journey, roads, and the pathways of life. As we've talked about many times during the series, for over 1,200 years, pilgrims have walked that 500-mile ancient path from France to Spain called the Camino de Santiago. Deanne Bostick, who is a Christian, who lives in Dallas, Texas, and works as an independent broadcaster, walked the Camino in 2012. I think we have a photo of her on her journey. She had just finished a spiritual formation program through the Upper Room, and she wanted to continue to deepen her relationship with God. So she decided to walk the Camino by herself. It took her 35 days to complete the journey. She describes her experience on a webcast on YouTube, which I watched this week. She said that just prior to going on the pilgrimage, her life had been changing a lot. It was changing in ways that surprised her and saddened her, but she thought that she had dealt with the hurt along the way. Yet for the first 2 days, as she walked the Camino, she said, "I cried." She walked and she cried, and she wasn't sure why. She said she talked out loud to God and asked, "God, what is this about? Why all these tears?" She says, "I felt so melancholy." She prayed and she looked inside herself. And she said an image came to her of these shards of glass inside her, brokenness over past hurts, which she thought she had dealt with. But she thought, maybe I haven't. She began to pray, to talk with God about it. And after a day or two, she began to feel this healing. She felt the pain dissipating. She recalls how incredibly close to God she felt at that point, and what a sense of freedom and release. She said, "I realized that if I was going to co-create my life with God, I have to show up, I have to live in the present." I love that line. If I'm going to co-create my life with God, then I have to show up, I have to live in the present. Sometimes we can get bogged down in the past. We can dwell on the past to the point that we get stuck. We might replay mistakes over and over, or obsess about events that happened a long time ago. Or perhaps, maybe even worse, we see our past as our glory days. We become preoccupied with past successes and accomplishments, the good old days, back when we were quarterback of the football team, or when we had 1,000 employees reporting to us, or maybe back when our bodies worked well and we were younger, back when we were living the dream, right? Either way, whether the past is painful or perhaps glorious, we can get stuck. And you can't co-create your life with God if you aren't living in the present. Our passage of Scripture for today comes from what is called 2 Isaiah, which was most likely written during the 6th century when Israel was living under Babylonian rule. You remember, many of the Israelites had been taken into exile in Babylon. Some of them remained in Israel. All of them felt the consequences of being a conquered people. As Kaylee Bruton puts it, physically, economically, culturally, and religiously, the people felt the might of Babylon upon them, pressing down on them. And because of this, the prophet Isaiah tries to restore the people's understanding of who they are as God's people, Isaiah wants them to know that God is fully capable of taking on the Babylonian superpower in order to save them. Isaiah reminds the people that the God who is speaking to them is the same God who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings chariot and horse, army and warrior, he says. It's an image meant to highlight the power of God over nature and military might like Babylon. It's also a reminder to the people about their foundational story, one of the most important stories to Israel and still to Jews today. What story does it recall? The story of the Exodus, of course, when God rescued them from Egyptian slavery and the waters of the Red Sea washed over the Egyptian army. God is calling on them to remember how God rescued them. Throughout the chapter, there are all these references to the history of God and the people. The very first verse refers to God as the one who created, formed, redeemed, and named them. Isaiah goes to great lengths to conjure up the past, to remind the people of how faithful God has been and their shared history. But notice, what's fascinating about this passage is that the prophet goes to great lengths to invoke the past, and then in verse 18, he does this about face. He writes, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old." What? All you have been talking about are the things of old and the past. Now you want us to forget them? What could you possibly be talking about? This makes no sense. Well, it's meant to be jarring. He's trying to get their attention. Isaiah doesn't want them to get stuck in some nostalgic state where they just contemplate the glory days. Back before they were conquered by Babylon, back when they were a powerful nation and David was their king, he conjures up the past, not to focus the people's attention on the past. Instead, he's trying to give them the imagery to be able to imagine a different future. He is focusing on God's faithfulness in the past to ensure them that their future is bright. It's filled with hope and promise. When I face difficult situations in the present, I often think about how God worked in my life in the past, and that brings me comfort. For instance, I learned a lot about trusting God's timing while we were waiting to adopt our son, Nate. I learned a lot about trusting God's timing as I waited to be called as a pastor. So now when I feel like God is not moving fast enough, which is often, right, I think back to those instances and how God's timing was right in the end. Nate is the child for us. If the timing had been different, we wouldn't have Nate, right? And you are the church that I'm supposed to pastor. If the timing had been different, I wouldn't have you, right? Is there a time in your past when God was faithful? Does it inform how you see the present? In the same way, the prophet Isaiah is reminding the people of God's faithful actions in the past in order to transform their perception of the present and the future. Isaiah goes on to say, "I'm about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" Or as the message puts it, "Be alert, be present. I'm going to do something brand new. It's bursting forth. Don't you see it?" As she walked the Camino, Deanne Bostick learned, "If I'm going to co-create my life with God, I have to show up You can't live in the past, even if the past was the good old days. This is true in our personal lives, and it's also true for us as a church. God is often calling us to move beyond the boundaries of what we know into uncharted territory. God says, I am doing a new thing. Isaiah 43 reminds us to claim God's faithfulness in the past as a catalyst for how we view the present and the future, not with fear, but with expectation about what God might do. At the beginning of worship, you were given a stone, or hopefully most of you were. If you didn't get one, we'll come down the aisle in a moment with them. I invite you to take that stone out and just hold it in your hand. As you hold it, you might ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you if you are stuck in the past in some way. Is there something you need to let go of or change? Are you holding on to your glory days? As we listen to the anthem, I invite you just to think about if the past is keeping you from co-creating your life with God in the here and now.